skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks, the at your name, creation sings your story, creation sings your story, at your name.
Just our voices.
place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. We want more of you, more of you.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, praise you.
Gather here just to sing these songs, but we believe that they are more than just songs. So Lord, can you accept our prayers, our offering of our sacrifices, and may you fill our hearts with your presence. Lord, your glory is what we yearn for, to be able to know you more, to be able to hear your voice. So fill this place, fill our hearts and our minds. It is you and you alone that we long for. We thank you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to talk about why worship. James and I were talking about, since we moved into AUEA and our church has grown, we've had people who have never been to church before. This is the only church they know. And we want to spend some time today talking about this whole worship service and worshiping God as a whole, and what this whole singing thing is about, what that kind of means. And so James and I were talking and said, well, Bert, why don't we do a tag team sort of sermon today? So I said, okay, that's a good idea. We can talk about worship. What would it look like? Well, so actually what really happened was this. I said, hey, James, I got to go to Bristol after service today to do a workshop and also to preach. Do you want to preach today? He said, yeah, that's not a good idea. Then he said, hey, I've been thinking about this worship thing. He said, what if we tag teamed? And I said, that's a good idea. What do you mean? And he says, I don't know. I said, what about this? So we came up with something, and both James and I thought, this could either be really good or really lame. So if it's really lame, may God have mercy on us. If it's really good, oh, praise God, because, you know, he's been really gracious. But we're going to come, and James is going to come up, and we're going to try doing something a little bit different today that's going to involve us singing, involve us thinking a little bit more about what it means to worship and stuff like that. Right, James? You have a good feeling about this?
Are you going to tell them about our color coordination?
Oh, yeah, by the way, we decided we dressed the same.
We did not decide. It was a coincidence.
Yeah.
But he only has one shirt, so I should have known better.
Yes, it's either that one or the pink one, but because I put on some weight, one of the buttons keeps undoing. It was awkward because I think 2 weeks ago in the Cantonese service, the Cantonese older ladies were making fun of me and said, your shirt's come on, try to look sexy. And I said, you wouldn't say this to your other pastors, just putting that out there. Right, so we're going to walk through a couple songs. So if you want to put up the open song. Oh, the guy I told to do that just ran off. All right, so we're going to try to walk through. So in the first part of worship right now, we just sang those songs. We're going to walk through them again to try to help us figure out what it means that we were worshiping, what that kind of looks like. I feel like I want to hold this, but at the same time, I'm going to have to hold my guitar, so I'm going to not hold this. All right, so is that up there? No, the screen's gone black. While we're doing this, James, actually, how long have you been leading worship? When did you start?
I think growing up in the church, I was always a part of the worship team to some level. Probably started leading maybe about Five, six years ago.
Okay, so when you're leading worship, what's one of the things that you're thinking about?
Trying to stay in tune.
Okay, trying to stay in tune, make sure. Why is staying in tune important for you?
Because it doesn't sound very nice when I don't stay in tune. But I guess the main thing is just trying not to be a distraction for everyone else who's listening to me sing out of tune. So I think the main thing, the first thing that comes to my mind is to stay in tune. But of course, when I think about it more, as I've gotten a bit more experience, one of the big things is just trying to listen to God whilst leading. So on one hand, I've prepared a set and I've prepared songs and I'm going to sing to how I prepared them, but just trying to listen and be ready to hear from God as well, to maybe be open to changing things, maybe just pushing things a bit longer or shorter. That process of while singing and still having all this going in my mind about what key I'm in or what song I'm going to be moving on to next, it's all a game of juggling in the head.
So you're trying to keep track of a lot of things when you're leading worship. Now, I think that's one of the things when we come to worship, the question has always been, what's everyone else thinking when you get to church? And I have a feeling, I think when most of you get to church, we're thinking about a lot of different things. I think the first thing everyone thinks of when they get to church is, where are my friends and where am I going to sit? And because if your friends are not here, you will go to your default sitting position, which is why we always have people sitting in the same zones, maybe possibly even the same seats, because we're trying to figure out, well, what are we doing? But actually, what we're really hoping happens during worship is people are saying, okay, why am I here? What's this about? What can I do? So my story is this. Sometimes I go to church, and I can go through the whole worship, and my brain will be thinking about something else the whole time. So I can sing the songs. Let our praise be a welcome. Let our songs be a saying. We are here for you. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, did I turn the stove off in the kitchen? We are here for you. We are here for you. Let our praise. Oh, yeah. What am I going to do later? Oh, my throat's really dry. Maybe I'll go get some water. And I get up and go to the toilet. And I think that's how we treat a lot of this part. And so when we come to worship, actually, the first songs, when we pick songs, you're beginning, you're always trying to pick songs and say, well, how do we get people to focus on what this is about, what this worship part is about? So this first song that we picked, so what are some of your thoughts about why we opened up with this one?
So as a worship leader, when we're trying to pick songs, it's picking songs that, of course, not just our favorite songs or just the favorite melodies, but actually looking into what the words are actually saying. So appreciating that some of us come in, you know, you have your thoughts. If I come in and we've got the kids, and I'm like, the lights go off and it's like, oh, it's time to worship. It's like, oh, where are the kids? What's happening? Do I need to be holding? Do I need to do this or that? And so therefore, jumping into a song like Man of Sorrows I've got a lot more steps to get to before I can get to that point where I can really focus on Jesus and dying on the cross. So usually the first song that we sing is a bit more of an invitation song in terms of either inviting God into our presence or maybe inviting ourselves into worship. So the song that we picked the most recently, or today especially, the screen's just gone off, is Here For You. This idea of just, we are here for you, God. We've got all these things going on, but we're going to stand here together and we're going to let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign, as in some ways, to wake us up, to remind us that we are here for him, not for our friends or family or not for lunch, but we are here for him. And that's probably the main thing that goes on in my head as I start choosing songs.
One of the big things about actually that first song, and it's for this today, is Let Us, We Are Here For You. But actually most of the first songs that we sing here, they're trying to help us move away from the distractions that are normally plaguing us or bothering us. And even if we have our kids here, you can still come to this point where, okay, God, it's not just about how I feel. It's not just about the emotion of it. It's actually, God, I'm making a choice here. Like, today, I'm here at church to worship you. And so every song is, like, trying to get us to say, focus, yeah, okay, this is what's about. This is what we're doing. So this song, the lyrics, it goes, opens up with, let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. It is really that focusing saying, actually, God, we are here for you. You know, we're gathering here for your glory, your honor. We're here on earth, God, for you. Now, this is really important Because if we don't open ourselves up to God, it's really hard to hear from Him. If you've got a hard or stubborn heart, if you're weighed down by whatever emotional or physical problems that are plaguing you, whatever God wants to say, it can't break through. So even if you have a great preacher, something powerful from God's word is coming into your life, if you're deaf, you can't hear it. Worship through song actually really helps us open up our emotions, our mind, and even our body to say, God, we want to welcome you. We want to open ourselves to you. You want to sing? Let's sing the first chorus. Should we try singing this together? And sing it like you mean it. Those memes. So should we try this? Let's do this first. Should we just close our eyes and just be still for a moment? Before we begin, just stop and say, you know, God, we are here for you. You know, we are here. You can start off if you want to say, you know, God, I am here for you. But then as it expands to we are here for you, get the sense of this corporate, that we are all here together for you. That all the brothers and sisters across the world who are gathering on Sunday, we are here for you. Let our praise be your welcome. Let's sing. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign, for we are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. All right, we'll stop there for a moment. Right, so this one's going to be like a bit herky-jerky. We're going to worship, then we're going to stop, we're going to analyze, we're going to worship. You can see there's a difference, isn't there, when we worship and you're preparing yourself to worship as opposed to worshiping just because it's a song. It's interesting because we literally just sang this song about 15 minutes ago, right? So it should be boring by now, right? Because we just sang it. But when we sing it again, like, actually, God, you know, we are here for you, there's a change. Now, so we want to talk a little bit about that chorus. If we're talking about where we need to be, humility, open, and eager to worship God, you know, what's this chorus kind of say? James, what are some of the things that stand out for you for this chorus?
I think one of the things is when we come to worship, well, we come to church, we're still carrying all the baggage that we've been carrying for the whole week. And actually, often we're not allowed to really be able to open up ourselves, to be vulnerable. And so we come in with masks on. This is how I see it. We come in with masks on, or we're just guarded. We've got stuff to do. We're busy. We're just stressed in some ways. But when we come here and it reminds me of another song, The No Longer Slaves, when it says, "You unravel me." When I come here into God's presence, I feel as though, you know what? All the things that I was holding on to, maybe good things to hold on to because you don't want to just keep just falling apart. But you come to a place where God is and you meet God face to face and we are here for Him. For me, it's like, oh, wow, finally a place where my heart can be fully open, where nothing is hidden at all. And actually, I have all these other things, but you are my one desire. It reminds me of Psalm 27, what is the one thing I seek? That is just to be with you, to dwell with you. And I think one of the things is getting to a point where realizing, God, I'm here. And it's like a big sigh in some ways. And that nothing is hidden. You know everything about me. And that brings me comfort and joy.
Yeah, that transparency is one of the big things about actually gaining a lot from God in worship. The worship service isn't a performance. It's not us on stage leading a song and me preaching, and at the end you take offering to see whether it was good or bad. That's not how it works. It is a community involvement of congregational worship of God, and it's our involvement of listening to God in worship, even as we sing, but also in God's word. So with this, to your hearts are open. I know we were using this as our first song, but whenever I see the word like open, the image that I feel like really helps is actually opening up your arms to God. Now, for this first song, when you come into church and you're like wearing your mask, it's very hard to sing this and immediately be God, yeah, I'm open. Yeah, God, speak to me. And it's like bit by bit. So as the song progresses, you're supposed to be learning how to be more open. Now, can everyone stand up for a second? All right, so not for a second. Can you stand up? Yeah, thank you, Larry. I'm going to time you guys. Now, I want you guys to stretch out your arms. Right, so that's, so it feels, all right, even that feels weird. Now I told you guys to stretch, right? Because this body language tends to be like, all right, you do this because you're carrying burdens, you're hiding stuff, you're self-conscious about the way you look, everything else, right? Or you're just cold. Body language is a big part of actually worship. Opening up your arms and saying, okay, I'm open, you can shoot me, you know, like I'm surrendering, I'm giving all this up. Whenever I see the word open in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I gotta open. But it's not just my head, I'm like, okay, God, am I being more willing to actually let my body be open to you? So this time when you stretch out your arms, don't think of it as stretching, because if you think about your stretching, you're like, oh yeah, that's fine, I'm doing exercise. Feel like actually, God, I'm opening up myself to your gaze. You look at me, you look at my life, and say, God, you know, I open. So close your eyes. You don't have to, that might help. Close your eyes, and then on the count of three, just kind of open up your arms out. You know, say one, two, three. Just open up your arms. And this is the kind of thing, God, you know, let me be transparent before you. To you, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Okay, take a seat. Again, this is the idea. In all these things, as the worship goes on, you want to get to that place where you're opening yourself up more and more. You know, it's not having someone prompt. There's one key line at the end of this. God, let your fire fall down. A lot of these songs have metaphors. The fire metaphor is very interesting because we normally use it when we try to talk about the Holy Spirit. But fire is almost always associated in the Bible with holiness and purity and God's refining power. So in this song, when it's saying, God, let your fire fall down, it's saying, God, I open myself up to you. Will you purify me? Will you refine me? Will you make me holy again? Like, that is what you're saying. So at this point, you close yourself up. You say, well, I'm not really going to ask God for that. I'm a bit worried. It is really this idea of when we come to church, we are asking God to basically wash us clean again. Draw us into your presence. Let nothing hinder us from that place again. Right, and then we're going to go to the second verse, and then we'll sing it through again, right? So the second verse is about shouting your anthem and your renown for those guys. What do you think this is leading us towards, James?
I think we've already kind of mentioned it. This, when I sing, let our shout be your anthem, your renown fill the skies, we are here for you. Actually, the thing that keeps popping back up to me is this idea of we, our. You know, actually, we don't need to be here. We could all actually put some headphones on and just listen to worship music at home and just be able to worship ourselves. But there's something about us gathering together. Actually, the first mention of worship using music was when the Israelites managed to escape Pharaoh and his army. And that was the first time where they escaped, and obviously the sea comes back on itself and traps Pharaohs and chariots. And then Moses in Exodus 15 can't help himself but sing. And then his sister Miriam can't help herself, grabs a tambourine and dances and sings. There's something about just us together and celebrating the same thing that God has done for all of us. And often, like when I come and I'm leading worship, I'm like, why do we have to use music? I mean, worship can be so many different ways. Actually, lots of different denominations use different things. Why do we have to use music? And then it reminds me, actually, music is just, it's such a powerful, powerful thing. Sometimes it can be used for bad. Sometimes it can be used for manipulating, but music, actually the way it's designed, was to provide us with that platform that makes it just that little bit easier for us to really be able to open up and engage with what we're feeling in, and really being able to open up for, not, it's not so much God is in the music and we're using, we're only reliant on the music, but it allows, gives us a platform where we can then have the faith to step in to his presence. So when we say, let our shout be your anthem, your renown fills the skies, in some ways there's power in us doing it together. Like football fans or hooligans, when they're at a football stadium, they can't help themselves but sing. Sing about their favourite player, sing about their team, or sing about the manager that they hate. They can't help but just shout it out. And actually, talking about the idea of body gestures, if you go to concerts or sports events, people have no problem. Just every time something good happens or they like it, they just raise their arms and go, rah! But for us in the Chinese churches particularly, maybe, we are more conservative. And maybe those, if you're like me and growing up in the Chinese church, the most you're going to get is the really spiritual lady who does this. And she's like, oh, she's with it. She's on it with God. Everyone else is like this or this. And you know, actually, I feel that. You know, when you come in, you're not ready to just go like this. But for me, sometimes, I force myself to do it. Because I believe that the body, mind, and soul are all linked. So even though my mind and my heart and soul may not be feeling it, I'm like, you know what? I'm here to worship him. I'm not here to get emotionally engaged in the music, but I'm just going to raise my hands as a sign and in some ways make my body tell the rest of my mind and heart and soul, it is, we are here to worship, we are here to shout and basically remind each other of what God has done.
Yeah, there's a... It's funny that we would have to talk about this, right? Because our God is so amazing, right? Our God, there's like nothing that compares to God. There's nothing on this earth. There's nothing in this universe in compared to how majestic and how awesome he is. You add to the fact that he saved us and he loved us and he draws us to his presence, that we are his children. Like, it should be a no-brainer, right? It's literally no reason at all why we shouldn't just be overwhelmed with joy. Why we shouldn't have this desire to say, God, you are so, so great. You know, I really praise you. And when we talk about shouting or, you know, being declarative, it is really from this, whether it's loud or quiet, there has to be this from the heart to say, you know, God, you are awesome. You know, and if you can't do that in church, like, how are you going to do it anywhere else? Like, if this is the safest place you could ever worship God, the question is, how are you going to be able to worship God in your workplace, in your schools, even in your homes, in your families, unless you're learning how to say, oh, God, you know what? You are the greatest. You know, I love you. So the last thing about this is let your word move in power. This idea of actually, God, when we come here and we worship you, and then we have a preaching from the word, it's actually saying, God, let your word really speak into my life. Show me something about you today. It's the coolest thing about God's word is there is always something fresh and new in there. Even from the most boring preacher, like, God's word is still unbelievable. And I tell you that because I know I'm up there with the more boring preachers, so you have to, like, I'm saying you can find something great if your heart is open to God. Always listen. Oh, I dropped my plectrum. Should we sing the chorus in the second verse again? And oh, thank you, sir. Changing the chorus in the second verse again. And this time, again, some of the stuff we've talked about, just, you know, as God leads you, you know, open up your arms, ask him, you know, God, I really want to say we are here for you. Should we stand in and do this?
Our one desire.
Perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God, your word moves in power. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. We're going to continue this kind of journey through our first set. You guys, is this working? Do you guys feel, is there a difference? Are you kind of getting to it? All right, well, we'll keep walking through. We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, we'll never do it again. It's fine. The next song we sang was At Your Name. One of the biggest things about this song is... I love the song because it moves all the focus off ourself and onto God. So in the earthly world, whenever we have a problem, the way we think about it is we focus more and more and more of our energy and our thinking and our time on that problem to try to solve it. And we think, how will I solve this? What will I do? How can I fix the situation? How can I? What's really important about coming to church is actually stopping and saying, you know what, God? I am not the center of the universe. And all the problems that I have, they might be real problems, but I'm submitting all that right now and saying, God, you are greater and better and bigger than everything. And you stop and you just say, and the great thing about the song is saying, you know, God, at your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tremble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. The people cry out. And God, we shout your name. We fill this place with praise. It's so important. If you don't get to come to church and humble yourself, then actually something's wrong. If we've somehow made ourselves the center of it. It wants to get to the place where we're saying, actually, God, no, you are God alone. You are bigger than all of this. This Sabbath, that one day a week, is where you stop and you say, my work is hard. Maybe my life is hard. The situations I'm going through are difficult. But God, you are still glorious. We still praise you. And I will still shout your name, even if I don't feel like it. James?
The main thing that stands out for me when we sing a song like this, actually when it says, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. I'm reminded, actually, the Jews back then, or even now, actually, if you go on Jewish websites, they don't dare utter the name of God. So actually, if you look at their websites, when they type God, they'll miss out the O. Because, and actually, when they refer to him, they'll refer to him as the Almighty, or the One Above. The reason being that they didn't want to take his name in vain. In some ways, they didn't want to misuse his name, so by doing that, they didn't want to mention his name at all. But here it says, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. And it feels a little bit strange. Actually, we've jumped all the way to this point, but we only can because of what Jesus did. So now we can shout his name. And yes, there are others that may fear his name, or they refer to this God as this just full of fear. But actually, we love to shout his name because of what he did for us, because of what he did through Jesus. And because of that, we can shout and sing his name as much as we want. We can declare to the nations what he did. And it reminds me of just Romans 8, where we no longer live with that spirit of fear. But now that we are adopted as his children, we can shout, Abba, Father, which in today's terms would be Daddy, Papa. And because we can shout it like that, that shows the level of intimacy that we can now have with him, that maybe the people in the past or the Jews now aren't able to have, to be able to connect with this gracious and loving God who did so much for us. And again, it's just, as Bert said, being able to declare what he's done for us, I think for me sometimes reminds me of just this heart of gratitude. Often, if you, I don't know if you're like me, but when I pray, it's just, Father God, I pray for this, 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 and I need this and I need that. And I forget that actually prayer is just this conversation that we have with God, and that starts with a heart of gratitude. We come to you and we just, God, I just thank you. And you are the one that's amazing. You are the one that created this earth. You are the one that the wind and waves obey. You are the one that lets me wake up even. So before I even get to my list of requests, I come to you and just declare how great you are. And often I find, after I finish declaring how great he is and everything that he's done, my small things don't really matter as much anymore. And in some ways, that echoes the Lord's Prayer, right? It starts off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That comes first, as opposed to give us our daily bread, give us what we need. And by the time I finish with that first part, the second part, I'm brought back to perspective, hopefully letting go of my own selfish desires.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. If we come to the bridge here, if we just jump down the bridge, because there's no one like our God, we will praise you. There's no one like our God, we will sing, we will sing. One of the biggest parts about this is it's a decision that we are making. You know, we will sing, we will praise you, regardless of things. One of the challenges with congregational singing is maybe at one time in your life you were told, you actually can't sing, you sound really bad, you really go off tune. And it's really scarring because someone might have told you that, and you come to church and they do all this singing and you're like, I don't really sing, I don't even go karaoke, it's not really my thing. How does that work? I know a lot of people feel like, well, I don't really get music, I don't really enjoy it. Why should we still sing? When the leaders up here, you know, we're worried about staying in tune because we know that there are people in the congregation who will be really put off by if we're the leaders going on tune. But actually, among the congregation, singing from your heart is more important than how you actually sound. This is not a X factor competition down there. It's not about how good you sound or how amazing you are. It's really saying, God, actually, I will sing no matter what. I will praise you no matter what. And I will do that. There used to be, so in Sheffield, I used to work with a youth group up there and the leaders. There was one guy who could not sing to save his life. He really was out of tune. And the thing about him, though, was, so he was with me on the leadership, and we'd always joke about it because we knew actually it didn't matter. When he worshiped, he could be the only person that was genuinely worshiping. He was like so joyful, and he was singing really loud. And there will be times, I think there are sometimes people going like, he's putting me off. And I was thinking to myself, really? I think if you're distracted, maybe you've got to refocus. That's where the joy is. And it might be controversial in some churches, but we actually had him on the worship team a couple times just because he had so much joy as he worshiped. We're like, wow, people should see this. Because he wasn't doing it for other people's praise, but just because he loved God. The same thing in our church. You know what? There's something great about just releasing your voice to sing. And just saying, you know, God, we will sing, we will sing, we'll shout out. James and I, we both have very loud voices. and very distinct sort of voices. And so growing up leading in church in the UK when I moved here, I found that I spent so much time trying to lead worship, I had to always restrain or contain myself. I think one of the best stories is I was leading worship at the old church, and it was back when we had about 15, 20 people, and I'd have to play piano or play guitar and then preach. And then after service, one of the guys came to me, Chris Su came to me, and he said, "Hey, Bert, I feel really sorry for you. I see you. You're really trying to get the people to worship. Your eyes are closed. You're really worshiping. You're really trying to get people, but no one's singing. No one's. But thank you for trying." And I said, "I know, Chris. That's why I keep my eyes closed, because if I open them, I'll give up." It's funny because of that, I was always, I took that with me. We're like, okay, God, how will we ever teach people how to worship? How do we bring worship to life in the congregation? And God was like, you just keep worshiping. You know, God's the one that unlocks that. And you start really, it gets to the point where people are not afraid to sing, not afraid to love worshiping. Music opens up new things for them to engage with God. And so it's the same thing with us. We're saying, okay, well, look, I'm not going to worry so much about what other people think. But I want to worship God. I want to glorify Him. Church is not the place where you have to be self-conscious and so concerned about everyone else, because at the end of the day, they kind of still have to love you, right? I mean, that's church. So you might as well say, well, God, let me go for you. Let me really try to worship you. So, yeah.
I mean, personally, my youth leader, she was a great, she had many, many gifts. The singing wasn't one of them. And but I used to love listening to her sing. I really did. Because, you know, it reminded me that it wasn't just about music. And as she would be able to worship and just completely give it up, I'm like, oh, you know what? I would love just to stand next to you and just get whatever little bit of whatever you have. And it reminds me, because a lot of the times we have this consumerist approach to worship now in church. When we walk in and we're like, right, I am ready to engage in worship. Switch the lights off, please. Piano, start playing. Play in the right time, please. Okay, right, I'm ready for worship. When worship isn't about that. But then we often treat it like that. Oh, okay, it's good. And then someone plays out of tune. In Chinese church, this is very common. Someone plays out of time or in tune, or they don't let you finish an intro, and it just all gets wrong. And then singing, oh, you can't do that. I am out of my worship mood now. I don't feel like it anymore. But then it reminds me, oh, to be able to worship without the reliance on music is a beautiful thing. Of course, I'm not trying to give us an excuse to play badly, because actually in Psalms it says to play skillfully. And I always say to our worship team, let's be so good that we're invisible. Let's be so good that we're invisible. Not too good where people just go, oh, that guy just nailed his guitar solo. No, but it's just like we're so good where actually people don't notice us. They can literally just approach God, and then music isn't in the equation anymore. It's simply just the platform. And then however people worship, it's just their own hearts, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. We're going to go to the next song now, so we're not going to sing this one. But the next song was Holy Spirit, and we just sang the chorus for this. And this was the song that we're going to lead in. After this, we go to, you know, offering, and then before the message. And this last one is really saying, okay, God, we know it is your Holy Spirit which dwells in us, that helps us to understand your word, that makes things clear. And when we're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, it's not because we don't have the Holy Spirit in us. What it's saying is actually, God, we prioritize all these things above you, and we let sin and our pride or selfishness or fear get in the way. We want to say, less of that. God, we kick those things out so that instead your Holy Spirit is free to work more in our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to work more in our life, to convict us of what's wrong, so that we're not deaf, in other words. The worst is you have someone who comes to church and at the end, they've heard nothing. They've experienced God no more. They've got nothing from the word, because the things in their life, the walls they've built up, have kept God out. So you're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, work, okay? I want to open myself up to your truth, so I can understand God's word, so that I can have you connect God's word with what's going on in my life. And while we did this song, we also took some time to kind of just, it got really quiet, right? And at this point, a lot of people are wondering, Are we still singing? Are they going to repeat it? What's happening? And I know for me in the past when it was just kind of like, to be overcome by your presence, and it's just like this. In my head, I'm just thinking, what's happening now? Is the song ending? And then the worship leader does something like, Jesus. And you're like, that word Jesus isn't on the screen. What does that mean? What should I do now? And then you don't know whether you're kind of like looking around, but then other people are like really worshiping. And you're like, okay. So what are we supposed to do during that time when there's just music playing and stuff like that? It's hard because for some of us, we're like there already. Like we're deep into worship very quickly. For others of us, we're like, okay. Ready to sit down now. Legs are tired, kind of stuff. The idea is for even in that time is you're saying, well, God, okay, let me speak to you here. And God, if there's anything that you want to say to me now, please do it. You know, I'm not going to be singing random words. I just want to be still and listen to you. And it's also saying, God, I'm also preparing my heart. The best way I would say is like kind of cleaning your heart, cleaning the room of your heart and saying, let's tidy that whole space up. God, get ready to speak. Okay. And during those times of reflection, you can say, you know, God, actually, is there sin in my life that I haven't confessed? Is there an attitude that I have that's wrong? Is there unforgiveness that I haven't dealt with? You don't always need a sermon to get you to that point. Actually, as healthy Christians, we're constantly saying, God, we need to evaluate where we are so that we can still be in tune with you. So it's a sense of getting, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Fill this place with who you are. I love the word atmosphere because it's not about the experience. Atmosphere is, well, it's the air, right? It's what we breathe. In other words, God, teach us how to breathe again, what it means to really breathe and live like you live. Should we sing that chorus? Let's close our eyes and just be still for a moment. And we'll do that thing where there's music padded out in the background. But use this time now just to pause before God, you know, and actually ask him, you know, God, what do you want to say to me? Are there areas in my life which I've gone the wrong way? Will you convict me and show me so that I can walk right with you again?
And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your glory, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I often find this time is a personal time of conversation between us and God. Some people like to sing their own words. Some churches that you'll go to during this time, they'll be like, sing your own songs. Right? Sing your own words out. And there'll be times of churches that will be very comfortable with that. And there'll be lots of people who'll be like, I can't even follow with the song that you sing. So I can't make up a new song right now. And for me, then we can change that to be just us listening to God. Actually, so much we just focus on just singing our words to God, sometimes having that space where we can be open for God to speak to us. And actually, it's acknowledging that the Spirit is moving. I was recently reading a lot of literature about Christian worship, and we found that a lot of the songs that we sing are focused on God the Father or Jesus the Son. So the things that they did, you know, mountains shake and crumble, Jesus died on the cross. And for some reason, songwriters up until now have been reluctant in some ways to write songs addressing the Spirit. But I think one of the risks of that is we neglect a very important aspect of the God that we worship, the Trinity aspect, where we acknowledge He is God the Father, who created the heavens and the earth, and who then loved us so much that He would give His only Son. And we worship the Son who came to earth as a helpless babe and died on the cross for us. But then really being able to address our own hearts to the Holy Spirit, who's described as God on the move, God in action, or the arm of God, really helps us acknowledge that God is living and present right now. And it's asking Him to fill our hearts with His glory, because He is here right now. He's not just this great statue that we worship, but He's a living presence and that Holy Spirit. And it's not neglecting any part of that Trinity. And it's focusing on all aspects. And only when we do that can we really admire the true beauty and glory of God.
Yeah, I think definitely during all the worship sets, they try to touch on the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, each person in the Trinity and their uniqueness, and also their harmony and the unity that we see in this. One of the things about that kind of reflective worship part is sometimes in the song there'll be a phrase that God kind of puts in your heart. Like for me, this song, what God's really been speaking to me as we sung that was glory of God, that sense of glory of God. So in the time of reflective where it's just kind of quiet, for me, I'm just singing that phrase out, just in whatever, like, glory of God, just because I'm letting God, you know, that's the word that popped out in me. So I'm going to sing that because I think you want me to dwell on that, to meditate on that bed. The other part is one of the reasons we memorize scripture is God puts scripture in your heart. God puts the Bible verses and says, you know, that really speaks to me as well. And so you're saying during worship, feel free to open up your Bibles, your Bible app, and say, you know, God, just let me read some of your word and let me dwell in that. All right, we're going to continue on now. We're going to talk a little bit more about sort of like this is where we would normally have our sermons. So we're going to have a small part of this where you guys won't have to sing. But one of the things I want to talk about was our worship service as a whole. If you notice in our church, we have like three songs in the beginning, and then we have that offering, and then we have the sermon, and then after the sermon, we have like a bigger chunk of worship. And that's really confusing for a lot of people, because they might come from Chinese churches, which is like, we have six songs in the beginning, and then we have one song at the end, and then we end it. We switched that around, because we found that actually, after the message is preached, after God has spoken in your word, people want to respond. That's where actually God's really speaking. Like all the stuff that was said through God's word is like, you need to really let that percolate, let that brew, let that grow in people's hearts. So we have more time in the worship afterwards for people to respond. And we've always found, actually, the second half of worship is, like, so much better than the first half, where it's like you're dragging people into worship. The second half is people are really responding. So we're like, well, we might as well make that second half a bit longer to give people that space to do that. And we always wanted the idea of, like, in that second half, that space is also the time where we say, you know, God, let me pray for my brother and sister. Or if there's something going on in my life, God, can I go and receive prayer? Because you spoke to me powerfully through the word today. And as we sing, you know, I really know that I need some help. And it's really that time afterwards where you're like, okay, God, let me get some of this stuff sorted before I head off and face this week on my own again. Let me really deal with that. And so that's why we designed that. Our church, we're really open to making changes, making adjustments along the way. But we found like that format's worked really well for us. And so in our own church, when we have that second part of worship afterwards, that's your time to really say, okay, God, what is my takeaway point here? What are you really saying to me? What do I need to do about now? And it could be you just meet up with someone in the service while you're worshiping. Hey, can we pray together? I've been going through this. Can you pray for me? Sometimes we have ministry teams in the back. You just go there and say, hey, can you pray for me? This has been going on in my life. I need some healing here. And we're asking God to respond. Or else it's also time just to stay where you are and worship. Open up God's word and let those words dwell in your heart a little bit more. So that's a little bit about that. And we want to talk a little bit about what it means to listen and respond to God. James, do you have any thoughts about that?
I think what you said about just the flexibility of changing, I think we are always... we're always open to change in terms of the format that we have. I think there's no set one way. There's no set template in terms of worship. Actually, there's something that worship leaders are guilty of, which is when we choose songs, we pick songs that, oh, this is a crowd pleaser. This is the one that gets people to lift their hands. And I like it when people lift their hands, so it's good. So, oh, we're going to sing this song, then we move into this song. And there are templates that we subconsciously follow. But actually, the worship of God is so open, and if the Spirit is moving, we have to be open to just changing and be flexible. And part of that is listening and responding to Him. But if you're like me, I think sometimes I find it really hard to be able to truly respond to Him and to really get into that place where my soul is literally worshiping and responding Him. And one of the things that I realize is listening is so, so important. Just listening and the art of practicing listening. We have our two children. We have Ruben, who's 4 and a half, who's learning 2 languages. We have AJ, at the moment she just says Angu, and that's it, nothing else. And I realize, and I read this in a book by Tim Keller, it's like, how do babies learn to talk? They don't learn to talk because, well, obviously they're not going to learn it through books. They learn to talk through listening to us. That's how they learn. And if you listen to Ruben talk, he'll basically just copy the things that he's heard from us. And that's how humans learn, by listening to people and slowly just getting more and more in tune with the language and eventually being fluent in it themselves. So then when it comes to my own prayer life or worship or singing life with God, I realize it's the same. That if I really want to learn how to know what words to use, and how to pray and how to sing, first I need to learn how to listen and then will I know how to respond. And how do we listen to God? For me, the main and obvious one, of course, is just knowing the scriptures, knowing His word. And Bert talked a little bit about this idea of just really delving into the scriptures and knowing. And something else I find, once you be in the worship scene a bit longer, you realize you start recognizing song lyrics in the Bible. So you read the Bible, that's where that song comes from. And actually, that convicts me, because what I would prefer to do is look at a song and say, that's the passage that they took it from. But for some reason, I guess it's just easier because music is powerful, we rely on songs to get us there first. But actually, if we were to really want to know God and know how to listen, how to respond to Him, we need to delve into the Word. And we need to really take His word to heart, because His word has power. And when we have that word in our hearts, we are then able to respond appropriately.
Yeah. We opened up our service today with a focus passage from Psalm 95. And it talks about Let's sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. What's interesting in verse 8 and 9, it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. And that's the day where the Israelite people said, you know, we don't trust you, God. We don't have faith in you. And then God has to do this miracle to kind of open their eyes. Hardened hearts are the biggest problem between us and listening to God. It's where we are stubborn or we're prideful or we think we know better than God. That somehow we don't think God is able to work in our lives and our situations. And that stubbornness, that kind of attitude, that selfishness really prevents us from hearing him. Now, I know for a lot of us, you're saying, no, I'm not proud. I'm so useless and so worthless. That's why I can't hear from God. I'm not good enough. And that's another problem, actually. That's still pride, but that's pride in thinking that you're so worthless. Actually, humility is knowing who you are in comparison to God, which means that you realize you are not important, you are not powerful, but because of God's love, you are his precious child. That's humility, where you realize, I am saved, I belong to him because of that. And then your relationship changes, and that means you become open to be able to hear and to respond and to listen. Listening to God is one of the hardest parts, because it means sometimes our world is so filled with distractions, whether it's your mobile phone, whether it's your family, whether it's your work. It's nonstop noise here. So you have to find out, God, okay, actually, teach me how to concentrate. Teach me how to fix my eyes on you, how to listen to your word. And again, music is helpful in that, but it's also spending time with one another. When praying with each other, talking, sharing, getting stuff off your chest really helps, because suddenly you can unprocess that. That's why we encourage talking to counselors or to meeting up with one another, because it helps to get stuff off your chest so you can hear again, so you won't be so stubborn and closed off. Last thing we want to talk about was worship in our daily life. How do we do that? Because worship isn't just about on Sundays, right? But how do we actually worship in our day-to-day?
You know, we already talked about the idea of sometimes we come and think, I'm just about to worship. And then we're essentially just saying, I'm just about to sing or engage in song. And worship is so much more than that. And actually, when Bert was talking about worship is kind of just the humility of knowing the value of ourselves in comparison to God. The term worship itself, proskuneo, is simply ascribing worth. That's where worship comes from. It's ascribing worth onto something. Value. It's basically us placing importance or significance onto something or someone. And we are all capable of worship. Mankind has never failed to worship. We worship idols, we worship other gods, we worship the things in our lives. We've never failed to ascribe worth onto something. So when we're talking about worshiping God, when we engage in whether it's song or anything else, it's basically our lives saying, God, I am important, but I'm only important because of how important you are, because of the value that you place on me. And I worship you because I ascribe worth to you. I place more importance onto you than me. And it's letting go of that selfish desire, letting go of that selfishness, and letting that seep into our everyday life. Of course, that all sounds quite spiritual or airy-fairy in some ways. Oh, we worship God and die to ourselves. But no one's actually killing themselves on a Monday to Saturday. So what does that actually look like? And I think for me, it comes down to what do I choose to spend my time and energy doing? If I find those things, I will find what I'm ascribing worth to. Worship in the Bible is about sacrifice. Abraham sacrificing, being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac and calling that worship. What sacrifices do I make in my life that are an act of worship to God? And that comes, and I think about this, I think, okay, what do I place most of my time and energy and values on? Often, I'm guilty of not really thinking about God. I say God's the most important, but in my day-to-day life, there are other more important things. There's looking after children, there's looking after family, there's work, there's studies, there's church, there's friends, there's socializing. None of these are bad things, but if I'm not ascribing worth onto God in a higher sense than them, I'm not able to worship every day. Worship is definitely, definitely not the 25 minutes of singing that we do on a Sunday. Worship is us making those small choices, and the problem is Sometimes they look like really small, insignificant choices. I wake up and I feel, oh, I should focus on God. But I need to check the newest cat video on Facebook. I need to look at the newest meme. I need to do this or that first. And suddenly, subconsciously, I've already neglected to worship. I'm worshiping something else in some ways. And I think worship, if it's to really impact our daily life, starts with the smallest things that we do. The smallest choices that we make, when it's literally a touch and go. Should I read my Bible? Should I have devotion time? Or should I even have breakfast in some ways? Which do I find more important in that moment? And every minute and every hour, you have choices to make. Who will I worship? What will I worship? And if we get that decision right, then we're able to worship properly in our daily lives.
Yeah, practically speaking, trying to worship in your daily life, it's actually trying to figure out how to fill your day with more God and less other stuff. So there are the more dramatic ways to do it, which would mean deleting apps off your phone. I know that's kind of gasp-worthy, but that obviously helps to you worship God because you now have more time that you can free up doing other things. So that's the question. So if you deleted, let's say you deleted Snapchat off your phone, I'm going to look in this direction, as that direction probably doesn't have Snapchat. Look at this direction, Snapchat. You delete Snapchat off your phone. Think of all the free time you would have. I know your question, your comment to me would be, but Bert, I would have no friends. Think of all the free time you would have then. One of the things is actually making those decisions, like saying, okay, well, I'm cut these things out of my life, and I'm going to fill them then with other stuff. Listening to sermons or podcasts while you're going is a great way to learn. Philip, finding time to pray throughout the day is also a really great way to help you focus. Listening to worship music or other types of things that will help you focus on God, as opposed to like hardcore rap or like death metal, can also help get you focused on God as well. And again, just actually meeting up with other brothers and sisters during the week is a really great way. Those are all really small things that actually start making an impact on what it means to kind of live your life. The last thing is actually spending personal time with God, which is difficult because I know we can't carve out time to do that. But actually saying, look, this is important for my overall life. Let me find out when I can do this, and let me choose to do this regularly. My wife's really, she set out a life plan a little while ago, and she said, this is what's most important to me in my life. This is practically how I'm going to move forward in this. You should ask her about her life plan and then say, wow, how did you do this? And then it's quite interesting. And then she makes sure she spends that time with God to say, look, this is how I'm going to grow my relationship. Everyone has busy lives. Most people have busy lives. And it's very easy to say, well, I just didn't have time today to spend with God. Actually, there's always the time. It's whether or not you find that, whether you're making that priority. All right, we're going to come to our last couple songs, just kind of close off and help us to worship. The next song that we're going to sing is At the Cross. And this is a song that where I think for us it's like, okay, well, let's look at Jesus. And actually, the last two songs really point to Jesus, as they should. In particular for me at the cross, the part that stands out to me is in the chorus where it says, at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. I don't know about you, but I don't bow very often. I think the last time I bowed was at a cemetery in honor of my grandpa who passed away. I think the last time I bowed. But when we talk about bowing before God, it is, if you've ever really done it from your heart, it's very humbling where you actually stop and say, God, I bow before you. I honor you that way. I think it has particular significance if you are Chinese or if you come from a Chinese culture that really emphasizes honor and respect. Because for them, when you bow before God, all that history of understanding what it meant to bow before your parents is amplified because you're like, I don't just bow before you, God, because I'm supposed to. I bow because you are actually the only one worth bowing to. And I humble myself and I respect myself to that. And if you've never bowed in worship, I encourage you, actually just make some space, go to the back, just bow before him and say, God, I just humble myself before you. And again, if you, you could do that at home, but doing it in church as well, in a corporate sense, it's like, you know, actually, God, I really do that. And the verses that really, really come before me is this idea of Christ. In Romans 8, it says, you know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. For me, it's that which makes me say, God, wow, I bow before you. I humble myself before you because nothing will separate me from you, and I just honor you and I glorify you in all of that. James, did you have any thoughts about this?
It's interesting because other scenarios where we hear of bowing, it's when we bow before a throne, before authority or power. But the thing that we're bowing to is the cross. Is we're bowing to a throne of grace and forgiveness that is in some ways so much more powerful than authorities that demand us to bow to them. Actually, this one is powerful because it comes from our own hearts and we realize we bow before him because without him we'd be nothing. But because of what he did on the cross, we're able to be free to choose and we're no longer afraid. And it's this song, I mean, the beginning, the first verse, Lord, you've searched me, you know my way. Of course, this is plucked right from Psalm 139. Actually, that God sees when we rise and when we sit down and when we stand up. And at the very end of that psalm, it's search me and know my heart, test me and know my thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me. And it's interesting because we don't like to be searched because we have stuff hidden. But this song brings that assurance that he has searched us. He does know us, but yet he loves us. And that is so, so different to anything this world offers. It gives a peace that the world does not know because he sees every part of us, all the dirt and all the mess, and yet he still loves us and chooses that we are enough worth to him to die for us. And it's because of that we are now willing to bow before him.
We're going to ask Kane to come up and we're going to sing the last couple songs. And so this time, kind of all the stuff we've kind of talked about, you know, just really bring that before God as we really worship him now. Just humbling yourself, opening yourself up to what God has to say. Whether it's by opening your arms or by bowing or by praying for one another, this is the time to really respond before God. Let's pray as we come to worship. Lord Jesus, we want to come before your cross now. That throne of grace where you suffered and died, but we are in awe because you resurrected, Lord, and your life means that we are no longer separated from God, but we are drawn into your presence. We are welcomed as your family. So we humble ourselves again and say, Lord, if there is any wayward way within me, will you reveal it? Will you forgive us? We confess again, Lord, how often we've made ourselves the center of the world when you are God alone. You know, who can compare with the Almighty? The heavens are your throne, the earth is your footstool. So we bow before you, we humble ourselves, and we come and we want to worship you with our whole being, body, mind, and soul. We worship you now.
surrounding me. In every season, I know you love me. Oh, I know you love me.
Shall we stand?
At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me?
At the cross I bow my knee.
And at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
You go before me.
You go. For you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me?
And at the cross I bow my knee.
And at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We thank you, God, because we have an everlasting King, you who were from the very beginning, who is, who was, who is to come, the author of salvation. You are King forevermore. We worship you. We praise you, exalt you, name above every other name.
King, it's
And saints adore that you are holy, holy, holy Lord. And what joy we have in everlasting life, where all is love and faith is sight, and we see you not through a glass, but we see you face to face with your eyes full of forgiveness and love, and yet perfect in power and justice. We are your servants of mercy and grace. Justice rolls and praises rise at the name of Jesus Christ, he who is King of Kings forever, riding, bringing judgment in his white robes stained in crimson. We praise you, Lord. You are King forevermore. May your name be exalted forever and ever and ever. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we receive the benediction? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit